So today we are in lesson 35, and we're going to continue looking at the issue of the tribulation. And with our look today, we're going to focus in on really the beginning of the tribulation, which we see with the first judgment. Now, we're going to expand into the other judgments in our next lesson, but today we're going to focus in on the first judgment, which we find in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Now, let's take a look at what the passage says. Now, I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now, if you remember from our last lesson, we talked about who is really in charge of the start of the tribulational period. And we went all the way to the throne room of God in chapter 4 of Revelation, focused in on chapter 5 with the Lamb who was slain. He is the one who is able to take the scroll, which is the judgments that God has pronounced and that God has decreed to take place on the earth. He is the only one who can take the scroll and open it. And so when he opens it, the judgments of the tribulational period begin. And so what we're going to see here is with that first seal, we're going to see a rider on a white horse. Now, several things I want to point out here. First of all, the Lamb is the only one to open the seals. So let's remind ourselves, the one who's in charge, the one who sets everything in motion, is Jesus. The Lamb is the only one. And with that, we're going to see that the first seal is a rider. In fact, the first four seals are riders. There's a rider on a red horse, there's a rider on a black horse, there's a rider on a pale horse. Here we see a rider on the white horse. These are known as the four riders of the apocalypse, sometimes also known as the four horsemen. So when we get to verse 2 of chapter 6, we're going to see this rider on a white horse. Now the conqueror mentioned here is the future world ruler, also known as the Antichrist. So at the very beginning of the judgments, part of the judgments, is this figure known as the Antichrist. Now, the word Antichrist means false prophet. So when you look at Antichrist, think about it. Anti means false. Christ is the Latin word for Messiah. So it is a false Messiah. Now, the difficulty is that some people, when they look at this, will immediately in their mind think that the first rider on the white horse has to be Jesus. Now, the reason why they do that is because when you go over to Revelation chapter 19, and it describes the second coming of Jesus Christ, he comes back on a white horse. Now, what I want to remind you is that in their culture, conquering heroes, world leaders, kings of empires, and so forth, rode on white horses to signify their status and who they are. That is the only reason why he's on a white horse. It is not Jesus. It's the Antichrist. So here's what we're going to do with the rest of our lesson today. This is the first judgment. We're going to basically try to get an understanding about what the scripture teaches concerning the Antichrist. So that's what we're going to focus in on for most of our time today, is we're going to focus in on the issue of the Antichrist. Now, as we begin our discussion of the Antichrist, because he's basically from the beginning of the tribulation all the way to the end. Now, what do you mean all the way to the end, George? Well, when the tribulation ends, the Antichrist is there, and we're going to see what happens to him a little bit later in our discussion today. We've got to understand the importance of understanding. We've got to understand why it's so important for you and I to have this knowledge of who he is. So first of all, there is a common misconception that we will not know his identity because of the rapture. So basically, we kind of get the sense, because we know that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation begins, there's the misconception that says, well, we're not going to really know who he is. Well, it's interesting, because when you look at 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, especially 2 Thessalonians, it talks about the Antichrist. And the impact of that is that to give you an understanding of who he is. So as we move closer to the time, you're going to understand, even though you may not be able to pinpoint exactly who he is, you're going to have some sort of understanding of the type of person it is, and you might be able to say, yeah, it's possible. So what I want you to see now is that, however, as we move closer to the day of the Lord, the wise will understand. Now, who's the wise? Those are believers who know their word, who know the scripture. And that comes from Daniel chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will purify themselves and make themselves white and refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. So as we get closer to the time, the wise, those who know the word, believers who know the word, will understand and know. So basically, however, as we get closer to the day, the wise will understand. Now, the other thing I need you to grasp is, how is that possible? How is it possible that we're going to understand, kind of maybe understand who he is? Well, we've got to also know, when we talk about the Antichrist, we're going to have to talk about the presence of many Antichrists. Now, what do you mean many Antichrists, George? Well, when we go over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, this is what John writes. Children, it is the last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now, many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. So what's happening here? He's saying, we know that the Antichrist is coming. But remember now, he's saying to you, but there are many Antichrists now. So the Apostle John tells us that as we approach the Antichrist coming, other Antichrists will arise. So the fact that there's going to be this world leader, this false Messiah, this ultimate false Messiah, who is going to be at the beginning of the tribulation, the reality that there are these types of people right now is really not a far stretch. Why? Because remember, when Jesus talked about that these are the birth pangs, the beginning of things, these are the preparation, the world's kind of being set up for this kind of leader, because throughout history, we have had these kind of leaders. We've had Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, we've had Napoleon, as well as others. We even see some today who would fit into this category. This is all in preparation for helping us to understand that there's going to be the Antichrist who is coming. Now, it's interesting now, you would say, well, you know, maybe we, okay, the Antichrist, yeah, we kind of see John mention him. Yeah, we understand he's mentioned in Revelation. Maybe Daniel. Is this really who he is? Is this really important? Well, yeah. He's mentioned throughout the scripture, and how we know that is because he has many names. And when you understand what his names are, they kind of fit with the prophecies that are being told. So let's talk about the names of the Antichrist. From the book of Daniel, we're going to see that he is mentioned four different times with four different names. So for instance, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, he is called the little horn. He's a little horn who boasts great things, who's a liar. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, we've looked at this passage in our study. He's the prince that shall come. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, he's known as the vile person. Also in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, he is the willful king. Let's go on. When we get to 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, he's mentioned three ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he is called the man of sin. Same verse tells us he is the son of perdition. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, he is known as the lawless one. So that brings us right back to 1 John. We mentioned this verse already. He is known as the Antichrist. We see that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Then we come to the book of Revelation, and he is mentioned in two ways here. The first one we've already seen in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. He is the conqueror on the white horse. And then when we come to Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, he is known as the beast in the book of Revelation. Now, these are the various names. Each of them kind of has a way of conveying who he is. Names are reflective of the type of person he is. What we want to look at right now is the character of the Antichrist. We want to focus on who exactly he is. I mean, we can hear things like he's a megalomaniac, he's a narcissist. Well, Scripture very clearly gives us an indication of the character of this man. And so this is what we want to focus on. The first thing I want you to notice about his character is the Scripture makes it very clear that he is a liar and deceiver. A liar and deceiver. So the Antichrist is a liar and will speak lies. This is the thing that marks this guy. He cannot speak the truth. He speaks lies. He is nothing more than a liar. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says this, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So the Scripture is very clearly telling us that he is a liar. The other thing I want you to notice about his character is that he's a boaster. He brags about himself. Another way of saying it would be a braggart. So the Antichrist will speak haughty and prideful words about himself. We see this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, talking about the little horn, and then Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, talking about the beast, the Antichrist. This guy can only think about himself, and he only talks about himself. This is the Antichrist. Now you say, George, we've had other leaders throughout history who have done this very thing. Yes, we have. This is why I'm telling you that John says there are many Antichrists. This is one of the characteristics of who this guy is. He's not just a liar, he's a braggart. The other thing I want you to notice the Scripture is very clear about is that he is a blasphemer. A blasphemer. He blasphemes God. He blasphemes Jesus. So the Antichrist will blaspheme God and Jesus Christ. And again, we see this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Also in Daniel 11, verses 36 through 37. So this guy will blaspheme God and Jesus Christ. This is the reality of who he is. Now, why does he do that? Because ultimately, he thinks he's a god. He thinks he's the ultimate. Notice the other thing about him and his character, he is rebellious. Rebellious. Now, what do you mean by that, George? Well, The Antichrist will not answer to anyone and is accountable to no one. We find this in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. So this guy really doesn't answer to anybody. He does his own thing. He doesn't really care. He is rebellious. He is not bound by anyone or any laws or anything. He does his own thing. This is the nature of who he is. Now, we've talked about his character, and again, we've noticed that this could be true of many leaders throughout history. Adolf Hitler is one, others as well. Let's talk about the power and influence of the Antichrist. Now, the scripture is going to talk about what kind of power this guy has, what kind of influence he has. And so we're going to look at several areas here. So the first thing we're going to focus in on is the reality that he has followers, the followers of the Antichrist. This is pointed out in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. So what I want you to notice is his followers will worship the Antichrist. His followers will worship the Antichrist. Now, let's stop for a moment and talk about this concept of worship. Worship here has the whole concept of honoring. It is like you honor the Lord, and yes, you are worshiping who he is. But we have a tendency as human beings to not just worship God or, quote, other gods. We have a tendency to worship human beings. We see that all the time. His followers basically think that this guy is it. He's the cat's meow. He is basically everything that is best for the world. And they believe everything he says, they will do whatever he says. They worship this guy. Now, why do they do that? They will be deceived by the Antichrist. Remember, he's a liar. They're going to listen to his lies. They're going to believe everything he says. So when he says something, they will accept it. Why? Because he is the one who said it. They worship him. They acknowledge him. They are following him. We've seen this throughout history where people blindly follow other people. This is what we're talking about, the worship. It also is pointing out about the followers that they will carry his mark on their heads and hands. For some reason, and during the tribulation, they will receive the mark of the beast on their hands so that they can conduct business and be able to sell and buy. There's a lot of different reasons, a lot of speculation with that. But the fact is they will readily be the ones who will do this because of the influence of the Antichrist. Now, let's focus in on another aspect of his power and influence, and that's the Antichrist's power. We're going to see some things here about his power. And one of the things we're going to notice that the scripture makes clear is that he is empowered by Satan. The reason why this guy has power is because he's empowered by Satan himself. So the Antichrist will be empowered and possessed by Satan. We see that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. We're going to notice that in that passage that this is what's going on. He is empowered by Satan. The Antichrist will appear on the world scene, accompanied by miracles, signs, and wonders. Again, why? Because he's empowered by Satan. He has power to do these things. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Now, another thing about the power and influence of the Antichrist, he survives a death wound, a mortal wound to his head. We know that. So the Antichrist will be healed of a mortal wound and the world will be amazed. We find that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. So sometime in this guy's reign, at the end of tribulation, he's going to suffer a wound. So basically, not everybody loves him, so somebody's trying to kill him. And they'll seem like they've succeeded, but they won't. He'll be healed of this mortal wound, and everyone will be amazed. Now, when we talk about his power and influence, we're going to have to kind of look at some of his actions. We're going to have to look and see exactly what kind of guy it is. he is and what kind of things does he do. And so here's what I want you to notice. First of all, he deceives the elect. Now you're saying to yourself, now George, who's the elect? Well, those are believers. So during the tribulation, I want you to find out that Jesus points out that the Antichrist will deceive God's people. The Antichrist is going to be able to deceive God's people. This comes from Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christs and prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So this guy is going to be able to do that. The other thing that this guy is going to be able to do, we've already talked about this because this occurs at the beginning of the tribulational period. We get it from Daniel's discussion of the 70 weeks in chapter 9. He makes a peace treaty with Israel and many. So what I want you to see here is this. The Antichrist will bring peace to Israel with a strong treaty. He's going to be able to do this. He's going to be able to cause there to be a treaty that will bring peace to Israel, but as well as many. And who could the many be? The many nations around him. And we see this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Something else that he does that is pointed out in Daniel as well as in other scriptures, and that is he stops the sacrifices in the temple. Jesus mentioned this. So the Antichrist will put an end to the sacrifices in the future Jewish temple. So there's going to be a temple. The Jews right now are wanting there to be a temple. They're waiting to be able to build their temple because the temple is the center of their faith, of what their trust is concerning God. They're going to be able to start their sacrifices, which is so important to them. But if you remember, according to Daniel, according to others, halfway through, he's going to stop the sacrifices. This will occur 3.5 years after the Great Peace was made with Israel. Now, where do we find this? Daniel chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew 24, verse 15. Another thing that he does is he is war against God's people. He's going to attack God's people. Why? Because he has to. God's people worship who? The Lord. They're not going to be worshiping him. So the Antichrist will make war against the people of God. We see that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Now, the other thing we're going to see about his actions is that he institutes his own laws. So he's going to just, remember I told you, he's rebellious. He's not going to hear to anyone. So he's got to set aside some things that he wants to happen. The Antichrist will institute his own laws in place of previous laws. We find that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Another thing that he'll do, and we're going to talk about this when we get further into our study in the next few weeks, is this can be seen in the institution of the mark of the beast. And that's with regards to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, the mark of the beast. This is one of the things he's going to do his own thing. He's going to institute this mark. The other thing he does, we've already talked about it as him being a blasphemer, he denies God and Jesus. Now, what do we mean by here? Well, the Antichrist will deny God and Jesus Christ. Again, we see that 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, which we've already looked at. Then, ultimately, which makes sense, he proclaims himself to be God. What do we see here? The Antichrist will take his seat in the temple and proclaim that he is God. So this is where he basically brings about the abomination that brings desolation. And we see that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, as well as Daniel chapter 8, verse 11. Another aspect of the things that he will do and what are his actions is the fact that he worships military strength. The Antichrist's focus and attention will be on his military, which he will honor. He will have an unrealistic expectation on the fact that he has this army. And we see that in Daniel chapter 11, verses 39 through 44. Now, this is quite a guy. And really, to be honest with you, he is a key figure throughout the tribulational period. He is the thing that probably everybody's talking about, and he makes every news article. And the fact is, this is who is the guy who will be in charge, but he has an end. So what we want to focus in on now is the destruction of the Antichrist. Now here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that he has a sure destruction. So we're going to talk about his sure destruction. It's coming. All of the passages of Scripture, when they refer to him by whatever name, the desolator or whatever, he is going to be put to an end. So here's what I want you to see. The kingdom and dominion of the Antichrist will be taken away and destroyed in one day. Now, where do we see this? Daniel chapter 7, verse 26. Revelation chapter 17, which is the destruction of the great whore, which is the false religious system of his kingdom. And then Revelation chapter 18, which is the destruction of the great city of Babylon, or whatever is the center of his city in his world that he is in one day. What I also want you to see is this. When Jesus Christ returns, the Antichrist will be captured. And we see this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. So he will be taken when Christ returns. It's not really going to be much of a battle, but the Antichrist will be captured. And then when we talk about his sure destruction, you got to understand why it's sure. So we're going to focus in on the reality of where he's ultimately going to end up, and that is the lake of fire. So here's what I want you to see. The Antichrist and his false prophet will be thrown into the lake of fire forever. And again, we're going to see that in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. I mean, he's not even going to be waiting around for the great white throne judgment. It's going to be immediate. As soon as he's captured, appears before Jesus, boom, it's over. He is cast into the lake of fire for eternal torment. This is his sure destruction. Now, here's the thing. You and I can get really freaked out about the reality of who this guy is. And yes, he can have an impact on the world. And yes, this is a very dangerous person. But the reality is even as he assumes so many things about himself and he makes himself out to be this great God who rules the world, the reality is he's just a human being. And our God and his son Jesus will put him in his place. He will be used for a purpose during that 7 years of judgment. But he will ultimately find his own destruction. Now here's what we're going to do. Next week when we come back, we're going to look at the judgments. Well, you say, George, we've already started with one of the judgments, the Antichrist. Yes, but we're going to see that that's just one of many judgments that will take place in the tribulation. So as a part of our study, next week, we're going to be looking at the reality of what is going to be happening with these judgments during that period that Jesus was telling us that right now, the things that are happening now with all the calamities and wars and famines and pestilence, these are just the beginning, the birth pangs. These are just in preparation for what's actually coming. We're going to talk about what's actually coming and how terrible that time will be. And so that's what we're going to focus in on next week.